Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be talking about the currently crazy world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Yes, I said currently crazy, because that really is the situation in professional wrestling, more specifically with the WWE, but really all over to a certain extent. I'm sure you all know now the big news has dropped that the WWE released 12 or 13 names from NXT. Some of those names, folks, were pretty big names. Bronson Reed? Was he just not the North American champion? Gone. Bobby Fish, part of Undisputed Era? Gone. Mercedes Martinez, who had just challenged for the women's title? Gone. Along with Leon Ruff, Jake Atlas, quite a few other people, some of which they weren't using. But those names, they certainly were. Now, this sparked some confusion with a lot of people saying, what happened? Exactly what happened? And the WWE issued a statement, I guess, saying that they are going to totally overhaul NXT. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, quotes have been put out. I'm not sure we can attribute them directly to Vince McMahon or not, but I'll read you what some people have said Vince McMahon had said. And what he had said was, no more midgets and no more 30-year-olds just starting their career. Now, this does not really surprise me. Doesn't really surprise me all that much at all. Because I had said for a good long time, you're going to run into this situation where the WWE is not going to be able to compete with the indies and these other smaller federations in the sense of putting on these 20-minute matches with smaller competitors and everything. That's not what the WWE was ever all about. And the WWE specifically formed NXT to be a breeding ground for those who would be the future of the WWE, not to compete with indie wrestling federations, not to compete with AEW, not to compete with Ring of Honor, although they did all those things. What they were really there for, what they existed for, was to be a minor leagues to the WWE themselves. And over the how many years, we saw a handful of people be successful. And we saw a much bigger handful of people who were not successful. Guys who were hugely successful in NXT. Called to the main roster only to be nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the reason, the biggest reason, truth be told, is probably because they weren't big enough. And Vince McMahon understands the visual. And this is why yesterday when the news came out that Vince McMahon personally met with Adam Cole in an attempt to get him to sign a contract, I was a little bit shocked because Adam Cole is virtually shrinking before my eyes. You know, I had a little bit of a spat yesterday on a group with a guy who I was actually sticking up for Adam Cole, but you know how fans are. I had said Adam Cole would be better off staying in NXT. The original comment was someone had written in and said, I think that Adam Cole is better in the ring than CM Punk, and I think he's just as good on the microphone, and I think he should go up to WWE. He'll make a huge splash. And I said, he's better in the ring than CM Punk. He's much better in the ring than CM Punk. He's not better on the microphone. That's not true. And I would rather he stay because Vince McMahon is starting to like these bigger guys, who's the champions? Think of all your champions. He's starting to go back to the days of the bigger guys, and Adam Cole's going to be the odd man out. Now, could he be the next Shawn Michaels, like another guy wrote in and said, what about Shawn Michaels 25 years ago? Yes, 25 years ago. If that's the only example you can come up with in 20 years, you know, what's the chances? He's not HBK, by the way. So I have said, I think he should just stay where he is. Oh, he's 6 foot tall, 220 pounds. No, he's not. No, he's not. Even his own hype says he's only 200 pounds. And I'm going to take 15 pounds off of that. And probably 2 inches. So Vince McMahon signing him, I want everyone to understand, Vince McMahon signing him to bring him to the main rosters may result in a few months of him being a top guy. I'm not saying it won't, because he's probably promised him that. But over the long haul, Vince McMahon has just stated by firing these people, I don't want any small guys. So you honestly think he's going to bring Adam Cole to the roster and say, well, he's just the exception to the rule. I'm going to run him to the very top. No, he's not. He signed him specifically so he wouldn't go to AEW, because he knows that that's a popular name. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. So will he make a run with them for a couple of months? Probably. But if you're an Adam Cole fan, you better hope he sticks with NXT, because his 2 or 3 month run on top is going to go straight to the basement, especially without the Undisputed Era there. And we're not going to have that now, because Kyle O'Reilly's staying where he is and Bobby Fish is gone. Roderick Strong's got another faction. So this could be bad news. That's my only point. And right away, oh, well, you know, I never said this is ridiculous. You just hate Adam Cole. No, I don't hate Adam Cole. I'm telling you what's best for his career, and it isn't going to a man who just got finished stating, I don't want any quote-unquote midgets in NXT anymore. Well, you think he wants them in WWE? So you better be careful what you wish for if you're an Adam Cole fan. And you better be careful of what you do if you're Adam Cole, because Adam Cole has to be smart enough to realize, I'm not going to get treated as I got treated in NXT. I'm just not. See, the thing about Adam Cole is he's very good in the ring. He's not that charismatic. He's not Shawn Michaels when it comes to the charisma thing. He just isn't. He's okay on the mic. He's not brilliant on the mic. And he was much, much better off when he had a faction. I don't know about him alone. Now, let me tell you before I get to the panel here, now let me tell you why the WWE is partially lying to you. They're saying we're going to overhaul NXT. No more midgets, no more 30-year-old guys starting their career out. We strictly want people who could one day main event WrestleMania. Well, you got rid of Bronson Reed. He's not a midget. And by the way, he had done some dark matches up for you, correct? So he was ready to go to the main roster. So what's that all about? You also got rid of the 7-foot giant guy you had down there. Okay, maybe you thought he wasn't coming along too well or whatever. But this is not all about size. Trust me. It's not all about size. Now, I am not against the WWE making some sweeping changes. Something's got to give, folks, because I told you the business is falling apart. I told you that, didn't I? I'm the only guy on any one of these blog shows that I've ever heard that told you the truth, that the business is collapsing. I don't care if the profits are up. It's not a true sign of what's happening. What's really happening is less and less people are interested. More and more people are tuning to different product. And the business is falling apart before their very eyes. Vince finally woke up from his slumber and realized something major's got to have to happen. And if that means tearing apart NXT and revitalizing it, do it. If that means tearing apart WWE and revitalizing it, do it. But make it for the right reasons. You've wasted I don't know how much talent that did have the charisma, that did have the ability, that does have the whatever it takes to main event a WrestleMania or be a top guy in a WrestleMania program. You've ruined some of them. Stop doing that. It's ludicrous. And he still hasn't addressed the biggest problem. And this is a problem that on this show we have talked about time and time again, only to have the majority of fans write me and say, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. Even the independent wrestlers write to me, that's not true. Why are you spreading that shit? That's not true. Well, now Al Snow has come out and said it. So why don't you go tell Al Snow he's full of crap? Al Snow has said, the problem with wrestling, they no longer wrestle for the fans. They wrestle for themselves and the boys in the locker room. And no truer words have ever been spoken. I said it long before, Al Snow. Time you understood that the only thing, the only reason you exist is to please the audience. That's it. There is no real belt to be won. There is no achievement that's actually earned other than if you can draw people. It's all based on your fan base. That's who you need to wrestle for. Now, Snow's taking a different approach, saying these guys are so worried that they're going to make a mistake, and they're so worried that they're not going to please Vince, or they're going to step on somebody else's move, or they're going to do something else, that they're in there and they're not listening to the audience. They're not gauging reaction. They're not calling audibles. They're not feeling the crowd and doing what to build that crowd momentum. He's absolutely right there too. It has to stop. The WWE is at a precipice right now. If you don't believe me that the WWE is at a precipice of collapse, why would you release this many people? They've released 50-some-odd people in the last little while. They're in free fall. Their ratings are collapsing. Their shows are the worst I've ever seen. And they know it. They see the ratings. They hear what the networks have to say. They read what the fans post on their Instagrams and their Facebooks and everything else, and they get it. And now Vince McMahon, at I don't know how old he is, in his 70s, I guess has finally had to take the reins back from 40-year-olds who don't know what the F they're doing. I know a lot of people blame Vince McMahon. I don't blame him that much. And I'll tell you why. He designated responsibility finally to some other people since he was getting older and doing other things, and that for a while he was going to run that football league and things, so he had already designated some other responsibility, and they all dropped the ball. So now he's going to take it back, I guess. And he's saying, get rid of these people. We're no longer going to do business this way. We're going to do business this way. It better make a difference. So, Mike, let's go to the phones, talk to Mike first. Mike, a lot of releases here in NXT and big changes coming.
I mean, stop, first off, WWE, stop with the bullshit. No more midgets. Well, why did you, if no more midgets, then why did you fire Mickey Cross's husband? He's not a midget, you know? Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Why did you fire Bray Wyatt? I mean, there's a whole list of guys that once he said that, Marcus, there's a whole list of guys that come to mind that they fired that would fit into what he wants to do, but they fired him. Right?
I agree, and that's why I say that's not all. We're not being told the absolute truth. Now, in the chat room, Derek is saying, well, you know, Finn Balor. Yeah, well, what'd they do with Finn Balor? They sent him down NXT for how long? Finn Balor was dropping matches. Finn Balor was nothing but a jabron before they sent him down. Yeah, he won the belt first, and then he got hurt, and then Vince lost interest in him, and boop, straight down to NXT after loss after loss after loss after loss after loss. Vince saw nothing special in Finn Balor. He still doesn't. Still doesn't. And it's okay to have one or two people. As far as Rollins is concerned, Rollins is considerably bigger than Adam Cole. Rollins is still hovering around that 220 mark and 6'1", and he looks and he's much more defined and solid. Adam Cole is shrinking before my very eyes. I remember when the first time I saw Adam Cole, I said, oh, he's small, but he's muscular. He's not even muscular anymore. He looks kind of frail, to be perfectly honest. And I'm just saying to myself, "This, I'm telling you, when he gets in the ring next to somebody like Drew McIntyre or something, you're going to be like, well, that's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous mismatch. And Vince is going to push him for a month or so and then say, See, in Seth Rollins, he came in with a team, with Ambrose and with, obviously, Roman Reigns, and he was able to prove his worth before. If he had just come in on his own, I have no faith that Vince would have used Seth Rollins well, but he didn't come in on his own. So Seth had that year and a half, 2 years, however long it was, maybe longer, to really highlight himself and prove he can get this done and the fans have some interest in him. Now, that's why I said if Adam Cole came in with Undisputed Era, you have a chance. You have a real chance. But he's not going to come in with Undisputed Era. So I just don't see it. Especially when Vince is saying we don't want any more smaller guys. Now, just take a look at the champions. Is Bobby Lashley a small guy? No. Is Roman Reigns a small guy? No. Is Sheamus a small guy? No. None of them are small. None of them are small. AJ Styles isn't the biggest guy in the world, but he's still well over 200 pounds, and he had such a name. And even he's with a 7-foot-tall guy. So all of your champions currently are larger guys. You look at guys like Ricochet. Arguably, Ricochet's better in the ring than Adam Cole. I mean, depending on the style of wrestling you like. Are they doing anything with Ricochet? No. They're not. And I just don't see it. I just don't see it. So if you're an Adam Cole fan, look, I'm not saying that you're going to bring him up and he's just going to lose. They're not going to do that because I'm sure they promised him if he signed that contract. I don't even know if he did, but I'm sure they promised him, we got a big program for you. We've told the writers to go and start writing for you, and I believe they have for a couple of months. But then what happens? What happens when Vince says, that guy is not even as big as Rey Mysterio? Well, he is bigger than Rey Mysterio, but taller. He's not bigger. That guy's very small. I can't. How do you want me to put him in the ring against this guy? I don't want that. That's what's going to happen. You can't just feud with Seth Rollins for the rest of your life. You can't just feud with one or two guys. You're going to have to make your way to the very top, and then what? Now, yes, Adam Cole is feuded with bigger guys in NXT, but NXT doesn't have that philosophy. NXT was never too hung up on size. It didn't matter. Most of their guys were smaller, actually, the majority. Look at Karrion Kross. He's a giant in NXT. In WWE, he's just a little bigger than average. That's why he can't have that monstrous, oh, my God, look at the size of this guy. Well, there's plenty of guys bigger than him. So he can't really go for that. See, that's where the problem occurs. When you have a gimmick that works for one federation because of the people that are in it, and then you come to another federation, you can't be this gigantic, monstrous, look at the size of this man, and then you go into a federation where the average guy's bigger than you by 3 inches. Then what? See, so this is a problem. And I just think it's going to really hurt Adam Cole. My advice to Adam Cole is this. think long and hard about whether you want to come to the main roster. Vince will promise you the moon for 3 months, but then what happens after those 3 months? That's what he did with Finn Balor. He put the damn title on him. He put the title around Finn Balor's waist, and if Finn Balor hadn't gotten hurt, he probably would have kept it the 3 months. And then it would have been straight downhill just like it was. And we all remember Finn Balor versus Braun Strowman, and it was just laughable. It was just laughable. Because by the very nature of pro wrestling, Finn Balor has got to oversell Braun Strowman and yet keep getting up. And you say, well, that's odd, because a guy half his size is getting up from these moves, and yet big guys who Braun Strowman gave these moves to, they were finished. And all it really does with every single match is undermine that guy's not that powerful, that guy's move isn't that deadly, or how could this little guy get up from it? See, that's where the problems occur. That's where the problems occur. Now, Shawn Michaels, if you want to get into the debate on Shawn Michaels, I'll debate you all day long, because Shawn Michaels and Adam Cole's wrestling style, while it's similar, lacks the same psychology. Shawn Michaels' psychology was, if I'm in there with a huge guy, I'm not exchanging punches with him. I am not trying to outpower him. I'm not trying to hold him in ground holds. I already know that he's bigger than me and stronger than me. So my philosophy is going to be hit and run, hit and run, hit and run. When he gets weak and he gets tired, then I'll start my acrobatics and try to run him dry, and that's the way I'm going to do it. But if I get caught, then he's going to bounce me all around the ring like a rubber ball, and I'm going to have no defense because I'm just too small. That's why Shawn Michaels worked so well. The top guy in the sport ever, in my opinion, when it comes to ring psychology, was Shawn Michaels, and I'll tell you why. Because he approached every single worker differently and said, what is it that I have to sell about him? What is his thing that I have to get over? Not just my thing. What's his thing that I have to get over? He's much bigger than me. He's much stronger than me. So I can't do certain moves. He's just as quick as me, so I can't do this. He's a better ground wrestler than me, so I have to try to avoid the ground. He did this differently every time. He analyzed the opponent and said, what is it that I'm supposed to sell about him? He was brilliant at it. I don't see Adam Cole doing that. I watched Adam Cole fight Karrion Kross, and he didn't approach Karrion Kross any differently than he approaches Kyle O'Reilly, or any differently than he did when he fought Johnny Gargano or Tommaso Ciampa. They're different people. They have different strengths and weaknesses, and you, as a wrestler, have to say, what is it that's supposed to be their strengths and weaknesses? That's not being taught anymore. You know, go on in there and exchange punches with a guy three times your size. Yeah, okay. And make that guy look weak, because for some reason, he can knock down Keith Lee with one punch, but Adam Cole, boy, he'd stay right there. Why? It doesn't even make any sense. So he's going to have to change his philosophies coming up to the main roster, and someone's going to have to get in his ear and tell him that. I'm sure he'll be treated well for 3 months. After that, I don't know. But Todd, what's your thoughts about NXT changing their philosophy and saying we are no longer going to try to be a strong indie federation as much as we're going to go back to training grounds for WWE future talent?
Well, like you said, I think it's wrong on that, but we don't get no say over this, technically.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's wrong, and I'll tell you why. They've lost the war. They didn't beat AEW. They were losing every week to AEW, so obviously something was wrong. If you're going to lose every week anyway, maybe it's time you changed your philosophy. I said, and I'll continue to say, AEW puts on great NXT puts on great matches, but a lot of their guys are not very interesting. Not very interesting at all. Now, I'm going to point something out to you. You go back and you watch Samoa Joe grab Adam Cole. Samoa Joe's not the biggest guy in the world. He's heavy set. He's not huge. He's not a monster. It looked like King Kong snatching an airplane. So are you going to tell me, oh, well, I should believe that Adam Cole can stand toe-to-toe with Samoa Joe? No, I don't believe it. And I don't want to see that as a wrestling fan, because then that means, see, there's a difference. Wrestling fans have been conditioned now to believe if you're just good technically in the ring, if all your moves look sharp, if you can do a lot of series of moves in a row and make them look realistic, you're a great wrestler. That's not true. The mark of a great wrestler is to understand your opponent and say, what would look real to these people? If I was really fighting this guy, what would I have to do? See, too many of these guys go in and say, well, I'm Adam Cole. I'm Tommaso Ciampa. I'm Johnny Gargano. I'm a big star. I don't care if the guy's 6'8", 350 pounds. I should be able to stand toe-to-toe with him. No. Absolutely wrong. Because then fans in the audience are sitting there saying, ah, it's ridiculous. This doesn't look remotely real. You've got to approach it as if it is real. You've got to approach it and say, well, if I was in there with a guy this size, I'm sure as hell not exchanging punches with him. I'm sure as hell not locking up with him and trying to drag him to the ground. I'm not going to be able to drag him to the ground. I'm going to have to go for the knees. I'm going to have to try to run him until he's a little bit tired. I'm going to have to use my cardio. I'm going to have to avoid him for a long period of time. Hit and run, hit and run, hit and run. When he gets a little more tired, maybe I'll approach him, but not now. There's no philosophy like that anymore in wrestling. And that's part of the reason wrestling's lost its enjoyment, because it's so silly. And then you also have to understand that Vince McMahon, in my opinion, and this is only my opinion, is correct when he says, for the largest part, fans do not come to see people who looks like you could beat them up. Okay? They just don't. Because they're just like, oh, big deal, that guy don't look tough. How does that guy look remotely tough? And that's the problem. Now, you're not going to say that with a Bobby Lashley. You're not going to say that with a Sheamus or even Roman Reigns. You're going to be like, well, it's a pretty big dude, man. You don't want to get in a tussle with him, probably. Well, are you going to say that about Ricochet, really? That's an issue. And there's a place for that other kind of wrestling, but I don't think it's the WWE, because I just don't think enough of the fans really want to see that. In other words, if WWE said, we're scrapping all the big guys, we're scrapping all the guys who have, like, these unique personalities and gimmicks, and we're just going to have Joe Brown versus Mike Smith, and those guys are tremendous wrestlers, and they're going to light it up for 25 minutes. Fans are going to be like, yawn. Why should I root for these guys? They don't look different. They don't act different. It's the old philosophy that I said. Rob Zombie could come out and play the exact same music that he's playing now, dressed like your social studies teacher, and no one is going to want to go see him. Visuals do matter. And I'm not just talking about heavy metal either. No one is going to go to a boy band concert. No teenagers, girls are going to flack to a boy band concert if every one of them is 218 pounds and got pimples all over their face. They're going to be like, I don't care how good of a singer they are. I don't like them. Visuals matter. And the visual of a frail-looking, and I'm telling you, I just saw a picture of Adam Cole in a cut-off shirt, and his arms look like, if they're 12 inches around, I'm shocked. Visuals of him standing next to Bobby Lashley, it's not going to work. I'm sorry, it's just not going to. I don't care if he's a great athlete. I know he's a great athlete. But it's not going to work. I know he has a better work rate than Bobby Lashley. I'm not an idiot. But I'm telling you, it's the visuals. I know a million people who can play guitar better than, you know, a lot of these guys that are in these bands that people rave about, but they don't look like that guy. I was lucky enough at one point in my career to work with a producer who actually played the drums on Billy Idol's White Wedding album. His name is Steve Missil. If you look him up on your CD, you'll find that that's the man who, on that album, who played the drums. He's not the man that went on tour, because Steve Missil, as it turns out, ends up being a 40-something-year-old dude who looked pretty normal, and he's just a fantastic drummer. And he said, they hired me because they knew I could come in and do all this stuff in one take. And I thought that meant I was going on tour. And when I told them, well, am I going, you know, I got the gig on tour, they laughed at me. And said, well, of course not. We got some 20-year-old kid with a punk rock hair and all kinds of stuff to do that. And he said, well, why can't he play the drums? Why'd you have me play the drums then? They said, oh, he's not as good as you. But he looks better. You get my drift? So there is such a thing as visuals, Mike, and I don't know. I'm not 100% convinced that Adam Cole's going to make that visual.
Right. Think about it. Look at the one of the factions that's in the WWE right now. You got Jinder Mahal, who's what, 6'5", you know, 250 pounds, right? The two guys with him are damn near seven foot tall and. Both of them over 300 pounds, right? That's what you got, right? So, yeah, that's your visual. And you put that visual against, against Adam Cole. I mean, look, we get on Billy Kerr again about him wanting to run a wrestling company, which he's doing right now, or when we tried to buy the TNA and all that stuff. He understood visuals because when he went out on tour when he was still doing music and he went out on tour, he understood that people expected him to look a certain way or they wouldn't buy him.
Right. Now, Derek is saying, well, Adam Cole probably won't sign. I think Adam Cole probably did sign already. From what I'm hearing, he met with Vince McMahon before SmackDown. He was probably offered a lot of money, and he was probably told, you're going to have a great story. You're going to go for at least a, you know, secondary title right away. We got a big push for you. That's what he tells everybody. That's what Aleister Black was told right up until the day that he was sitting in the gym when he got a call saying, you're on the list of being fired. Oh, there's a big push coming for you. We got a million things to, yeah, I know. And what was one of the first things they said about Aleister Black? Too small. He's much bigger than Adam Cole. Well, not much, but he's bigger than Adam Cole. So, yeah, I don't know. Look, I like to watch Adam Cole wrestle. I'd like to see him wrestle to the best of his ability, and that would be to stay in NXT. The problem is he's done everything he can do in NXT, so now we got an issue, don't we? You either bring him up and make him the exception to the rule and hope that the fans accept him and Vince accepts him, or you leave him down there and you try to come up with some other things for him. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say, the WWE is no longer going to be engaging in hiring, quote-unquote, midgets or guys just starting their career out at 30 and then say, we're going to sign Adam Cole and he's going to be a big star. That doesn't make any sense. That's going totally against what you just said. It's the exact opposite of what you just gave as a reason for firing a half a dozen people. So that doesn't make any sense. Nothing in the WWE really makes any sense, but this really doesn't. If you're going to revitalize the Federation, then do it. But I got news. Then you need to really start what's the right word for it? You need to start looking a little closer to home. Number one, get rid of some of these writers who have absolutely no clue what they're doing. Number two, if you really do say, well, we only want bigger guys, and like the smallest guy we want is maybe 6'1" or 6'220", well, you got a little bit of a problem. Yeah, you could pass off Seth Rollins as 220. He might even be 220. I don't know. Yeah, you could pass off AJ Styles as 219 or 220, even though he's not 6 foot. But those guys are already established. So if you're talking about bringing in new people, then no, you shouldn't. You should stick with your philosophy. You need to get rid of some dead weight. And I don't mean dead weight in NXT. See, the problem with you is you're starting to release people who could probably help you and keep people who have no earthly way of helping you. Explain to me how Sami Zayn is doing any good for you. No one wants to watch him wrestle. And here's why they don't want to watch him wrestle. You don't let him wrestle to the best of his ability. Therefore, he's boring. You let him use the mic, but he never really wins anything. So basically, he's just a loudmouth who loses all the time. The people who remember Sami Zayn from NXT or his indie stuff say this is not the same Sami Zayn, so there's no point of watching him because it's not the guy I wanted to see when you hired him. So and technically, you've ruined him. So since he's completely ruined and he's beyond building back up, just get rid of him. Just let him go. Likewise, is anyone sitting on the edge of their seat saying, oh, Chad Gable. Here comes Chad Gable. Can't wait to see this match. No. Now, it's not because Chad Gable's a bad wrestler. Chad Gable's an excellent wrestler. But you won't let him do 90% of the stuff he wants to do. And you have no storyline for him that makes any sense that actually is interesting. So you may as well let him go. Let's go ahead and drain the swamp if that's what you want to do. But it's the swamp you created, though. See, that's the thing. You created that. So a lot of these guys, it's not their fault. It's your fault. You've ruined them. But since they are ruined, yeah, I mean, they were your toys and you broke them. And there's only so many times you can fix the toy before you say it's just time to throw it out and go buy a new toy. Well, a lot of these guys, you've broken beyond fixing. So take it for what it's worth, but just getting rid of some guys at NXT ain't going to help. And if you're going to start bringing in bigger guys into NXT, guys that you say, we want guys who can possibly one day main event WrestleMania, Keith Lee's a huge guy. Keith Lee's a massive guy. You used him like garbage. Don't like him. Don't think he's capable. Okay. Well, that's your opinion. So fine. You brought up Samoa Joe. You didn't use him for shit, as it turns out. You're going to make him an announcer for the rest of his life. We have no plans in putting him back in the ring. So he went down to NXT. You used him shitty. Karrion Kross comes up. He's a fairly big guy. Well, you used him shitty. You let a guy that basically the size of Adam Cole beat him. So at this point, you can't expect me to take you seriously. When somebody says, I don't want small guys in my federation clogging up the room for the big guys and the guys with the big personalities, and then you have Karrion Kross come up and lose to Jeff Hardy. Forgive me if I don't take you seriously. Because that's the exact opposite of what you just did or what you just said. So you have no track record of using the big guys well either. So now what? So Triple H is now going to have to go and scour the universe for guys that are 6'3", 240, 250, minimum. Put them down in there. They got to be in their 20s. Put them down in there. Run them for a while. See if they're any good. Try to give them a gimmick. Bring them up to the Federation for you to say, nah, you don't like them. Why don't you try working with who you got? How about that? How about you make the people you got interesting? That would be a start. That would be a good help. Make the people you've got interesting. Because none of them are. Baron Corbin came up. And now I know people could argue, well, he's done pretty well. He's been a mainstay. Yeah, he hasn't done that well. He hasn't really done that well. Yeah, he won the Money in the Bank and dropped it easily, and then he won the King of the Ring thing. But look, the bottom line is he hasn't really done that well. This is a guy who could be a top guy. Of course he could be. He's got the size. He's got the legit credibility. He was a Golden Gloves boxer, and you've made him a horse's ass. So I don't have any faith, Mike, that they're going to do this big, small, or medium size. I have no faith in it.
Right, and think about this. They brought up Sanity, right? Yeah. What's his name is a smaller guy, but the other two guys with him weren't. You know,
right.
Nikki Cross's husband and what was the other guy's name? I'm blanking on his name. They weren't small guys, and they wasted them, so, I mean, just because you're a big guy doesn't mean they're going to use you correctly, and that's another problem. Oh, we got this, we got Mr. X who's 6'8", 290 pounds, and we're going to bring him up, right? Okay, within a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, Mr. X is persona non grata and on the road to being fired. So what do you want us to believe, huh?
Well, you're exactly right. And Derek in the chat room saying, why fire Bronson Reed? Well, that's what I said at the beginning of the show. That's why I'm telling you that's not all there is to it. They also fired some 7-foot guy down there, and Bronson Reed wasn't technically even going to be in NXT much longer. He was going to the main roster. He had already done dark matches for them. So I don't know. See, the WWE sends you mixed messages, and they're not telling you the whole truth. And the reason they're not telling you the whole truth is because they're embarrassed to tell you the whole truth. It's easier to say, we're getting rid of the midgets and the no personality guys, and we're going to go back to a training ground system where everybody in NXT could be a future WrestleMania main eventer. Because that sounds better than, we hired way too many people. We have no clue what to do with them. Most of them are decent athletes, but very unimpressive when it comes to drawing power. And we're overspending on our salaries because most of these guys are just sitting around at catering. That's the truth. And as they see their ratings falling and falling and falling and falling, they're going into panic mode saying, get rid of people, get rid of people. We could be in for a rough winter. We're going out on tour. It's going to be more costly now. See, when they were just sitting around at the Thunderdome, it wasn't costing them anything to travel. Now things are about to get expensive. This is why you're seeing all these cuts. They're not telling you the truth. The truth is they know, as a business, they are in free fall. I don't care if you say, well, the ratings are staying fairly steady, and they're in the red. They've reported to their stockholders that they had their best year. I understand all this. But that doesn't mean the business isn't in free fall. It is. They are within a few hundred thousand of losing to AEW against Raw. Their writers are hapless. Their wrestlers are bored silly, and you can see it. Their upper management is clueless, absolutely clueless, and morale is at an all-time low. Now, I watched SmackDown this week, and we were talking about continuity. You literally have Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville saying, we can't just grant somebody a title shot because they asked for it. You have to earn it. Fucking John Cena is in a title shot at SummerSlam and Shinsuke Nakamura on the same goddamn show gets a title match. What the hell are you talking about? And there's not one idiot either in front of the camera or behind the camera that says, you can't say that line. That's absolutely ludicrous. We do it all the time. So how can you say that? Well, you just write a different line. No, no, the writers are too lazy, and they don't even understand that. If I was a writer and I started to write that line, I'd say, wait, I can't say that, because they do it all the time. You don't even watch the product, or you'd know they did it all the time, and you'd say, well, I can't say that. It's just beyond belief. I've watched the WWE since I was able to turn the television on by myself. Okay? So I'm not talking about a five-year fan here. And I'm telling you, I have never seen it in worse shape in all of my life. Years ago, people said, you think the WWE might crumble? I said, there's not a chance in hell. I take it back. There is a strong chance. Because everything they do is counterproductive. Everything. Every message they send, every show they put on the air, every time they speak in public, it's counterproductive. Nothing positive is happening anymore. 205 Live, just wait. It's going to be one of the biggest things ever, says Triple H. It'll take some time, but people will get used to it. Where's 205 Live? Where's that show? If people wanted to see under 205-pound guys flip and flip and flip and flip, how come they don't tune into that show? Huh? So I don't want to hear from the fans either that, well, this is a new style of wrestling. No, it's not. You don't want to watch that or you'd watch it. There's a lot of great acrobatic style wrestling over there. You don't want to see it. You would have watched it. At the end of the day, people still want to see Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. That's what they want to do. They want to see The Undertaker versus The Ultimate Warrior. That's what they want. They don't want to see Ricochet versus Mansoor. Sorry. It's just the truth. Because that's not what wrestling was founded on. Wrestling was founded on guys who were larger than life. Yes, of course, there are exceptions. But the exceptions were rare. That's what I was trying to get people to understand. Everybody always runs to Shawn Michaels. Well, Shawn Michaels wasn't big. Bret Hart wasn't so big. They're exceptions to the rules. How many times did they come along in 20 years? Once in a blue moon? Yes, of course there's going to be exceptions to rules. Because there are some guys who are just so charismatic and they catch fire that you're just like, well, I don't know, it works. But you can't force them to catch fire. It just happens. Did Marty Jannetty catch fire? It's just one of those things. So I don't know, folks. I'm watching the collapse of WWE right before my very eyes. And then I'm hearing, Mike, I'm hearing the most absurd things from fans, too. You get fans saying, well, all AEW is doing is buying WWE's leftovers. Well, what do you want them to do? When they see qualified people on the free market, what are they supposed to say? I'd love to have that guy in my federation, but the WWE had him first. And even though they don't want him anymore, I guess I won't sign him. What are you, stupid? Of course they're going to sign him. You know what that would be like saying? Well, the New York Mets decided they're going to let Noah Syndergaard go because they need to save some money. And, you know, if the Yankees pick him up, then they say, well, the Yankees are just going to stock their team with ex-Mets, I guess. No, that's not the way it works. If you see a talented person that is looking for a job and you feel you can use them, of course you are going to pick him up. So I don't care if they sign 50 more WWE guys. It would be different if they were actively seeking guys who were never doing anything anyway. Is Matt Cardona over there? No, he's not. Is Curt Hawkins over there? No, he's not. They're not signing just anybody and making them stars. They're signing big names. Big names. People who will help their federation, of course they're going to sign them. So people get, you know, butt hurt because, well, WWE let my favorite wrestler go, and naturally AEW picks him up. It's good. Now you can see him wrestle. All of you Aleister Black fans, what did I tell you? And all I got from fans was, you don't like Aleister Black. You're always so hard on Aleister Black. And what did I keep telling you? I kept telling you, I like Aleister Black. I want to see Aleister Black wrestle to the best of his ability. He is not going to be able to do it on the main roster of WWE, so I have no interest in him. If you really are an Aleister Black fan, you want to see him cut loose and do what he can do. Now you can. It's more frustrating to watch him in the WWE than fun. It's the same way with Sami Zayn. Oh, you hate Sami Zayn. Well, I don't like Sami Zayn as a person. No, you're right, I don't. But as a wrestler, I think he's a very good wrestler. But he's not being allowed to wrestle. Not being allowed to do anything. A Blue Thunder Bomb and the Haluva Kick. That's it. So if you're a Sami Zayn fan, I imagine you want him to go somewhere where you can actually say, now that's the Sami Zayn I wanted to see. Right? So when I come down hard on these guys, it's not that I don't like them. It's the same way with Adam Cole now. I'm telling you, if Adam Cole comes up here, I don't care how good he's treated. Aleister Black was undefeated, too, for months and months and months. But at the end of the day, he's going to end up that way. And I don't want to see it. So don't tell me I'm coming down hard on Adam Cole. I'm just telling you, if you're an Adam Cole fan, you want to see him do well. You want to see him go to a place where he's actually going to be able to do what he does. And it's not the main roster. Todd, if you're an Adam Cole fan, I don't think you should root for him to be on the main roster.
I should not either. Like you said, if he goes on the main roster, he's going to be in squash matches for his main roster career.
I mean, I don't know if they'll go that far, but the bottom line is, Mike, they're not. They might treat him well for a few months, just like they did Aleister Black and Ricochet. But then what?
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm kind of going down these rosters here, and look. You're looking at Dominik Dijakovic, you know, and all these guys that are bigger guys that
right.
are not really using really well. And it's like,
nope.
Okay, nope, then I'm using them. And so, I mean, think about it. What gives you confidence that even if they're running this, whatever this tournament is, that with unknown guys, and some of these guys are bigger guys down in NXT right now, what makes you think that the winner of this tournament, whomever he may be, if it's one of the bigger guys, is going to be used all that well? I guarantee you that these guys that end up signing with AEW that have names, AEW is not gonna actively seek to ruin their names. They gotta have too much invested in them.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's the point I'm trying to make. The WWE's blown smoke up your ass when they're saying, "Oh, we're not really invested. We don't want any more midgets." What are you talking about? You had a whole bunch of big guys come to the Federation. You treat them like garbage too. Dijakovic is one of them. Keith Lee's not being treated well. At what point do you just say, "Well, you know, look"? All I'm asking for the WWE is tell me what your business plan is. If you say to me, Marcus, we're going with big guys, I'm sorry. I understand that Ricochet's a great athlete. I understand that even guys that are a little bit bigger, even AJ, you know, we're going to start phasing them down because we're going to start going with big guys. I may not like it, but I'll say, okay, well, at least they have a goal. Or, you know, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and this is why we let these people go. If you say to me, look, we want big guys, but we don't think Keith Lee is the big guy we want. We don't like the way he uses the mic. We don't think he's that charismatic. We don't think he's connecting well with the audience. He just doesn't seem to be what we are particularly looking for. Okay. I disagree with you, but okay. But you can't turn around and break your own rules every 5 minutes and then expect me to believe what you're saying is true. We want only big guys. Well, how come Keith Lee's no good then? How come you're letting Karrion Kross lose? How come Dijakovic is a bum? We don't have any plans for smaller guys. Well, I don't know. You got Ali and Mansoor going pretty well here. I don't get it. Pick one. Tell me what your plan is, and then I'll believe you. Oh, we're releasing all of all these guys because we don't want small guys. Well, Bronson Reed's not a small guy. Some 7 foot tall dude, he's not a small guy. Why are you releasing them? And if you really don't want small guys, why the hell are you stumbling all over yourselves? I don't care how good he is. Why are you stumbling all over yourselves to sign Adam Cole? You just tell him, listen, Adam, we're moving in a new direction. We just want big guys. And you're not that – I'm sorry, you're not a big guy. I mean, you're a great athlete, and we wish you well, but you're just not – it's not going to fit what we want. This happens all the time in movies and things. Do you think in your wildest imagination that if an Academy Award-winning actor like Michael Caine said, I want to play Batman, they'd be like, well, I'm sorry, Michael, you can't play Batman. You're 75 years old, and you're English, and we realize you're a great actor, but you're not Batman. See, that's what would happen. The WWE is one of these people that's just like, well, we don't want small guys, but we want to sign Adam Cole. We really want to push some big guys, but not Keith Lee, not Karrion Kross, not Dominik Dijakovic. So who? What are you waiting for? I don't believe a word you're saying anymore. It sounds like you're a drowning person just flailing in the water waiting to go down that third time. I'm sorry, but that's exactly what it feels like to me. I watched SmackDown, and SmackDown was hideous. You've ruined even SmackDown. None of it makes any sense. Your writers need to be fired immediately. Whoever writes your dialogue for your wrestlers needs to be fired immediately. I'll do it for free if I have to. You got Dominic Mysterio telling you that when Rey says to his dad, or Rey says to his son, you shouldn't have, challenged him, you know, this, that, and the other. I got to, it's something important I have to do. I believe me, Dad, I have to do what I have to do. What do you mean? He's a professional goddamn wrestler, and he challenged another wrestler. That's what they do. What are you trying to talk your son out of being a wrestler? The dialogue doesn't even make any sense. I'm shaking my head at the screen, and I'm saying, who wrote this? It's awful. It ends up just being a word salad. Oh, this will sound good. It'll sound very dramatic. Yeah, but it makes no sense. Now, if you're going to have to write that anyway, then you write something where Ray says, are you ready to go solo like this? You haven't had a lot of solo matches. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think you're overstepping your bounds here. I think we're better as a tag team for a while. And you going out here and challenging people on your own isn't going to help. Show a little bit of dissension in the ranks where Ray is saying, and then Dominic can say, you don't think I'm ready. That's your problem. Is that the only reason you're even tag-teaming with me is because you don't think I'm ready? At least we have, okay, there's a little tension. Dad, this is something I have to do. What, wrestle? How does that make any goddamn sense? Doesn't. And oh, by the way, Tamina Snooker can sure lose this week, but she can't lose the Doudrop. How does that make any sense? I thought you were pushing Doudrop as someone who was, basically invincible for a little while. No. Forget that. One hand doesn't even know what the other hand is doing. It's a goddamn disaster. And now what we find out, the only thing you did right that was halfway decent this week is that Finn Balor is mad at John Cena. Well, no shit. Because here's what has happened. Either A, they've seen John Cena in dark matches, because he's been wrestling them, and they said, you can't do 15 minutes. Or he's told them, I can't do 15 minutes. Or he said, look, I want to do very minimal stuff because if I get injured, there goes my movie deals and everything, so I'm not going to do a hell of a lot. And they said, we got to add a third person to this match or it's going to suck. And that third person is going to be Finn Balor, and it's still going to suck. Because I don't for 1 minute believe that Roman Reigns can destroy The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, but he can't beat Finn Balor. It's ridiculous. Even John Cena has come out, Mike, and said if they keep relying on aging wrestlers like this, their future is uncertain. I mean, that's a big statement from a guy who's a lifer with the WWE.
Right, and look, if you're going to go with bigger wrestlers, I'm going to stick on this bigger wrestler thing, then, well, hell, you got Jackson Ryker, that's a bigger wrestler. Well, I mean, not much bigger, but bigger, you know, 240, 250 pounds. Hell, even Elias is a bigger guy, you know, than some of these other guys. I mean, I love AJ to death, but what is he, 215, 218? Elias,
yeah,
and Ryker are both, yep, in the 240, 250 range, you know?
Yeah. Well, Mike, and this is exactly why I said I don't believe the WWE. I don't believe them. Well, we want guys who have personality, but we fired Bray Wyatt, and we're not using Elias. Well, I don't know. Can you get anybody with any bigger personality than Bray Wyatt? I would say no. And what happened when the whole crowd was chanting Walk with Elias for 5 minutes? He couldn't even speak on the microphone because every time he tried to, they just started chanting louder. You ruined that. So don't tell me you want guys with bigger personalities, because when they show they have bigger personalities, you say, that's not what we want. We want Ricochet. Okay. And then he does his flip and flop and floop and flip, and you say, we don't want that. Well, I thought that's what you said you wanted. No, we don't want that either. Well, I don't know what you want. I don't think you know what you want. See, that's the problem. Pick something that you want and run with it. That's what you did in the Attitude Era. You said, okay, well, here's the deal. From this point forward, we're going to get edgier. Our content's going to be edgier. We're going to have edgier matches. We're going to have more adult storylines. All of that's going to be geared. So the comedic guys, man, I'm sorry, we're not going to have a lot of room for you. It's just not what we're going to be doing right now. I get it. And whether you liked it or you hated it, at least you knew what direction it was going. I have no clue what direction the WWE is going in. One day they say, we want bigger guys, but we're signing Adam Cole. Then the next day they say, we want guys with big personalities, but they fire Bray Wyatt. I don't believe a word you're saying. I don't believe a word you're saying. You wanted big guys, but you fired Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, and you fired I mean, it makes no sense. If you wanted to usher back in the Giant Era, the last guy you're going to let go is Braun Strowman. And if you no longer want any quote-unquote midgets, why are you stumbling all over yourself to sign Adam Cole? And if the answer is, well, we don't want him to go to AEW, I thought you didn't care about AEW. You sure don't care if Bray Wyatt went there, right? You sure don't care who else is going there. Sure didn't care if Aleister Black went there. So what's the problem? The problem is you have no clear path forward. This is the main problem with WWE, and they're going to pay the price for it. I'm telling you. I'm warning you ahead of time. You're going to pay the price for it unless you get in a meeting and decide where is our future. What is our 1 year or even 2 year goal here? Where are we going with this company? What direction are we heading with our style of wrestling and the people that we hire? You need to know it. And if it means you have to let a few of my favorite wrestlers go, well, at least I know where you're heading, and I can follow my favorite wrestlers on another federation. But you need a clear game plan, and you just don't have one. You're so fickle. It's like that person who says, I want to play the guitar, and then you play that for a month. I want to play the drums. And then you pound on them for a week, and I think maybe the bass is for me, maybe a piano. Maybe I should try saxophone. And you end up not being able to play anything very well because you didn't concentrate on one thing. before you moved on to another. Well, that's the WWE. We want high flyers. No, we don't. We're going to give the high flyers their own show. Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want guys with big personalities. Fire Bray Wyatt. We don't want to sign any more small guys. Sign Adam Cole. We want to push the big guys. Drive Keith Lee and Karrion Kross and Dominik Dijakovic into obscurity. Tell me how that makes any sense. And why we should have any faith that you have any game plan to pull yourselves out of this. And I got a big news flash for you. The Roman Reigns storyline is getting old. I told you it was going to happen if you didn't take it slow. By this time, you could have had some matches between Jimmy and Jay. You could have had some matches with Jimmy and maybe Roman, where Jay was. I'll tell you what I would have led this up to. I would have had Jimmy and Jay fight to the point about Roman where he said, look, I'm going to beat some sense into you. That's the only thing it's going to take. Brother to brother, man. I love you, but I'm beating some sense into you. You need to get away from Roman. Whatever ends up happening, you have Jimmy and Roman in a match where he says, look, I'm not going to have you do what you did to me last time. So we're going to do an I Quit match. But we're going to let somebody throw in the towel, and I'm picking my brother because I know deep down inside, even though my brother and me have had our problems, he'll never throw that towel in for me. And Roman Reigns could say, hey, I'm going to give it to the same guy because I know he's going to do the right thing. Man, you would have had some conflict, huh? And Jay would have been like, what am I supposed to do? I throw in one towel, I lose my brother. I throw in the other towel, I lose my cousin who's helped me so much. I feel like you guys are taking advantage of me. There's so much more of that story you could have told, but you've jumped into chapter after chapter to the point where the story has already reached its conclusion now. You can't stretch it out anymore. You're lucky you're going to try to stretch this out through WrestleMania. This is going to not, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Because I'm starting to lose interest in it already, Mike.
Right, and look at what's happened versus this and versus AEW. With MJF. There are still certain storylines with MJF that haven't been explored yet. Right now, they're basically doing the whole MJF, Jericho thing, right? Where eventually,
yeah, but
I think what they want to happen is Jericho to beat MJF, but we'll have to see with that. Well, there's still another storyline out there, because remember, remember what happened. The first thing that happened was there was a thing between MJF and guess who? Cody Rhodes, right?
Right.
So
right.
And they sort of put that on the back burner for the time being because this whole Jericho MJF thing is really going good right now, and they did very well in telling this story. They haven't skipped any chapters. They haven't forced anything, and they haven't, sped it up, played it the way you should play it. At one point, the WWE used to be masters of this, playing a story, writing the story and playing the story the way it should be played, at the right speed it should be played. Not anymore.
Mega powers, man. Look at how long it took for that explosion to take place. We all knew it was going to happen, but, man, it just came little by little, and it just kept smoldering and smoldering until it reached critical mass. And while we were all waiting for it, we were never really sure when that moment was coming. Yeah, now the WWE just tells a year's worth of stories in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. That's part of the problem. That's a huge part of the problem, but that goes to the writers. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. No, he's not there. Anyway, that's part of the problem, and that goes to the writers. The bottom line of the situation is if the WWE is really serious about rejuvenating their federation, don't start with the workers. Start with the writers, and start with the people in power. Now, obviously, Vince is the top guy. He's going to be the top guy. But change the people around you. They're not doing you any good. If this is the best they can do, Vince, it's not good enough. I mean, these shows are terrible. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I've been a WWE fan, again, since I was able to turn the TV on by myself. And I'm telling you, the shows are terrible. So now what? You have to fix it. You're not going to fix it with these guys saying, I've got a good idea. Let's have so-and-so come out and challenge so-and-so tonight for the title. And she accepts it. And then one match later, let's have Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville say, well, we just don't grant people title shots. You have to earn it. It's mind-boggling. It's like a satire. It's just awful. Fix it. Get rid of the people who are currently got you've currently designated responsibility to. They're not doing you any good. Two, get rid of the writers. Anybody that would write this horrible dialogue for these wrestlers, it's not their fault they got to deliver these lines. It's not their fault. Three, then weed out the talent that you say, we're just not going to use them. We're just not going to use them. Do you see that happen? Let me take baseball for an example. You may want a backup catcher. And that's fine. But if you got three catchers, and all three of them is hitting 300, and all three of them is about equal, you might be able to trade a catcher and get somebody halfway decent, right? You're not just going to say, well, you're sitting 90% of the time. Why? You're wasting them. You might as well get somebody you need. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you know, why don't you reach out? Why can't wrestling do that? Why can't wrestling trade contracts? You want to pick up his contract? We're interested in one of your guys. How come you can't do that? I would think it would be a good idea. Or at least if you're not going to do that, just let him go then. What good, what earthly good is Chad Gable or Sami Zayn doing to you right now? They're not doing you any good. They're just filler. Their fans are not satisfied with the spot that you've given them. So they're not interested in watching them wrestle because they're not seeing them to your full, to their full capacity. It's more frustrating to watch someone you like and enjoy watching wrestle not be able to than it is to just not see them at all. So if you're not going to use them to their full talents and capacity, let them go. Find somebody that you are going to use to their full talent and capacity. Find somebody that fits your model, your business model better. I get that. I don't get hanging on to people who aren't doing any good. And I also don't get pandering. And I know this is going to be very controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. The WWE is currently pandering to the African-American community. They have Big E win the Money in the Bank, and, of course, Apollo Crews is Apollo Crews has no personality, zero, none. He doesn't have a personality as this new character. That's why they had to have Commander Aziz with him. Otherwise, he has nothing. And I don't believe, even if they let Big E cash in the Money in the Bank, I don't think Big E's going to be the champion. So now you're just catering to people. Well, we don't really have any intention of using these people, but we can't, we don't dare take the belt off him because it'll look like racism. No, it doesn't. He's no good. I don't care if he's black, white, green, yellow, whatever. He's a good athlete. He's not interesting to watch. When's the last time he's even had a pay-per-view where he defended it? He only defends it on TV because no one even cares. You don't even have a feud for him. I guess you're going to try with Nakamura now. That's another guy you ruined. Stop your pandering. And AEW's got to stop doing that too. Tony Khan's got to stop falling all over himself to apologize every time two fans find something offensive. I swear to God, if I wrote in and said to Tony Khan, you know, I find MJF saying a certain word offensive, he'd get on YouTube to say, oh, I'm so very sorry. You don't think about it now. Please. You know what you should tell me? F you. Then don't watch it. I'm tired of that. But they're doing a hell of a lot better job than the WWE. Because at least their fans are happy. You want proof? I'll tell you. I'll give you the proof. typical WWE fan online. All AEW is getting leftovers from WWE. Same fan. WWE sucks. I hate their show. AEW fans are saying, did you see this good thing? Did you see that good thing? Wasn't this cool? Oh, they're bringing in so-and-so. They seem to be happy. Most AEW fans seem to be happy with the product they're given. WWE fans are shitting on it online and at the same time mad because AEW is doing better and trying to shit on them because they're mad that WWE won't rise to that level. Don't be mad at AEW. Be mad at WWE. I'm furious with the WWE. The WWE should be able to drive AEW under the table. They have more talent on one show than AEW has in the whole goddamn locker room. And I don't care who makes that makes mad. It's the fact. But they can't use it. They have no idea how to use it. You could switch rosters. You could say, okay, AEW, you take every WWE guy. WWE, you take every AEW guy. All those AEW guys would end up boring and not used well, and all the AEW, the WWE guys would have a new career. So what does that say, Mike? It clearly says that the WWE don't know how to use their talent.
Right. They don't have to use it. And watch the guy that – watch what happens with Bray Wyatt and these other guys show up there, you know. And watch what happens. I mean, look at what's happening now with Rusev over there in AEW. He's got almost a brand new career, and they're doing well with him. Now, one other thing, they said that, oh, they don't want 30-plus-year-old people in NXT, right? Right?
Right.
Didn't they say that? So
yeah.
What is Frankie Monet? What is Frankie Monet?
That's true. But I guess they figure she's not beginning her career. What they're saying is we don't want guys 30 years old saying, I want to learn to wrestle. I mean, I think it's okay if you're coming in and you're like, well, I've wrestled for 8 years. Then you haven't begun your career at 30. I think that's what they're trying to say is we don't need you to recruit guys who are in their 30s. I'm a football player, and I retired last year. I'm 32, and I'd like to start wrestling. No. I mean, they're not going to turn down some 34-year-old dude who's, you know, lit it up in another federation. They're not going to do that. So that I get. That I get. I even get if you say we don't want any small guys. I get it. But again, then you can't sign small guys. It's just stupid to keep saying the same thing over and over again and then do the exact opposite. This is the problem with the WWE. AEW is not doing that. They bring in Malakai Black. What do? They use him instantly. And I can promise you he's going to be undefeated till Cody Rhodes gets done taping his Go Big Show thing, and then there's going to be another big feud. Because AEW, what's the right word for it? You know, I laughed at AEW when they said we don't need writers. And I still say they do. I still say they're making a mistake. But in the long run, if what they were saying is we don't need bad writers, like the WWE has, they're right. They're absolutely right. I'm looking at some of these things that these writers write, and I'm a published writer, okay? I've written things that have been published. And I'm telling you, and that's what I majored in, I'm telling you they're awful. And wrestling is the easiest thing in the world to write for. There's nothing easier than professional wrestling to write for, nothing. Because it's the same story, and just held a different way. That's all. It's good versus evil, different shades of gray maybe, but it's still good versus evil, right versus wrong. That's all it is. Antagonist, protagonist, that's all it is. It's writing 101. It's just a basic writing. And that's why people crack me up when they say, you know, good wrestling writing is hard. No, it's not. What's hard is for you to listen to the fans and understand the concept of organically having something happen. In other words, I may say, well, I think Apollo Crews, I'm going to write this big thing for Apollo Crews where he's going to do X, Y, and Z. And if fans are not liking Apollo Crews, then I have to call an audible and say I'm not doing it anymore because it's not working. So what we'll do is they seem to be cheering this guy, so we're going to go with this. That's what the WWE always did. Stone Cold Steve Austin came in. He was a badass heel. No one was booing him, so they said flip him. The fans want to cheer for him, and they did. Same way with The Undertaker, right? Triple H came in, and he was the blue blood who was bowing and wearing ruffled shirts, and people weren't into him. So all of a sudden, he became something different. You were able to reinvent him because you had good writers who said, well, let's see. What do we do that the fans are going to buy? What do we do that the fans are going to like? Now Al Snow is absolutely right when he says nobody cares. They don't care about the fans. They're not wrestling for the fans. They're not writing for the fans. They're writing for their sponsors. They're writing for their networks. They're writing to avoid any controversy. They don't care about the fans. The wrestlers are getting in the ring, and they just want to wrestle for themselves or the boys in the back. They're not listening to the fans. They're not feeling the pulse of the building. They're not calling any audibles, if they're even allowed to. This is the problem. Al Snow gets it. He gets it. I love when I say something and people say, oh, you know what you're talking about. And then weeks later, wrestlers come out and say the same thing, and fans are all over him saying, that was brilliant. He's so on point. That's why the people who listen to the show, they get the heads up more quickly than other people, because I'm shooting it from the hip, folks. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you the WWE's in a free fall. I wouldn't trust one person backstage, and the wrestlers know it. The wrestlers know it. They're like, what goofy thing are they going to have me do next that's going to ruin my career? What dumb angle are they going to make me do that's going to totally make me look like a jackass and I'll never recover from it? What goofy line are they going to give me to say that I'm going to be forced to say, even though I know it's stupid? And if I dare say I'm not doing it, then I'm hard to work with, and my job security is worth nothing because they fired Bray Wyatt, and he was their top merchandise sales guy. So, I mean, if they'll fire him, they'll fire me. This is the environment to which they're working. How would you like to work in that environment? So aside from a few select people, like maybe Roman Reigns and the Usos and maybe a couple other people like AJ Styles who'll just go with the flow, nobody's happy working there. Nobody sees their career going anywhere. And meantime, they look over in AEW and they say, wow, you know, Rusev was on his last legs. They've managed to regenerate him. They've managed to regenerate a few of these guys. Maybe I should go over there where I'm a little bit more valued and my opinion isn't going to get shot down in flames. Maybe so. Maybe what the WWE really has to change is not the size of their wrestlers necessary. Maybe what they need to change is their attitude and the way they do business. What's wrong with letting some of these wrestlers say, can I just go out there and show what I can do? I promise you this. If you said we got 2 hours on SmackDown, we're only going to have four matches. But they're going to be 15-minute matches apiece. That's an hour. And then we're going to have some interviews and backstage stuff and everything else. But all of our matches are going to be 15 to 18 minutes. And they're going to be hard-fought, really good matches where we're going to let these guys go ahead and do what they do best. You'd see your ratings turn around. You'd see it turn around really quick. Give me a Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn match and let it go 18 minutes and tell them, hey, nothing's off limits, man. Do it. Go for it. Have the best match you can. God bless you. Then let's let the fans decide who they want to see. How about that? Instead of you deciding by holding them back who the fans want to see. In other words, you say, well, we can't have anybody showing up Roman Reigns. Well, why not? If Chad Gable shows up Roman Reigns and more people are cheering for Chad Gable, push Chad Gable. That's all. If more people are cheering for Sami Zayn than Apollo Crews, then push Sami Zayn. What do you care? That's the thing. Why are you picking winners and losers? What do you care? Let the fans pick them. Tell the guys go out and do the very best you can in the ring, and the fans will decide who they're more interested in seeing and who they're not. It's your talent that's ultimately going to decide your placement in this company. If the fans are not interested in you, then you're going to be sitting near the bottom. If the fans are going nuts for you, then we're going to put you near the top. But we're not making that decision by telling you, don't you dare do X, Y, and Z. I mean, you can't send some band out there and say, you guys are going to have a professional sound man and a light show and everything else, and then send the next band out and say, you can have a ukulele and a goddamn stool, and expect that the fans are going to be more into them. And that's what the WWE does. They force it on you. This is the guy we want you to want to see. Why? Why do you care? You're selling all these people. Let the fans decide. Then there'll be actual competition between wrestlers of, well, I better go out there and do a really good job tonight. Because if I don't have a good match, it's going to reflect my placement in this company. Wrestlers aren't doing that now. They're like, it doesn't matter what I do. They won't let me have a good match. I'll just go out and do 3 minutes. My placement in this company has already been decided. Give me my paycheck. Let me go home. That's the philosophy, Todd, and it's a very poor philosophy to work under.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, it was one of the poor philosophy and everything. And like you said, it's not going the way they wanted it to go. They're doing it for themselves, practically, the WWE and their sponsors and the boys, the people in the back room.
Well, they definitely are, Mike, because, I mean, let's face it. Has there been any glowing reviews of Raw and SmackDown in months?
Not really. I mean, I can't remember. There are very few times when we've been given, all three of us, have given either show at least, I would say, a B. You know?
I know it's
been grading the show. And think about this. You know, let's go back to Santino Marella. He wasn't the best of wrestlers, but what did he have? He had charisma. I mean, he got the freaking Cobra over.
You're absolutely right, and I'll tell you why Santino Marella is such an important factor in the company. Because he's harmless, he's funny, and he's charismatic, but everyone knows he's not super tough. When a super tough heel did something horrible to him, fans were outraged, and they said, well, you know, beating up on Santino Marella, let's see you do that to so-and-so. And then so-and-so gets the benefit of that. You know what I'm saying? Every federation has to have a couple of guys. R-Truth used to be that guy who's real charismatic, and he's totally, you know, in with the fans, and the fans love him, but the fans already know he's not going to be a world beater. So when somebody big comes along, you're like, oh, well, why is he picking on him? Sure, he'll pick on him, but he's not going to pick on whoever the big baby face is at the time. And then that big baby face gets the benefit of that. See, that's what they don't do anymore. They just don't do that anymore. You've taken people that, well, it's not like some of these people don't have charisma. Kevin Owens has a lot of charisma. When's the last time he used it? Baron Corbin has a lot of charisma. When's the last time he used it? You understand that Baron Corbin's been in this federation for I don't know how many years and he's still not flipped face? Why not? Flip him. This was your perfect opportunity to do it right. You still may be doing it, but you're doing it in the worst possible way. There's a lot of guys who have charisma. The Usos have a ton of charisma. Obviously, the New Day has a ton of charisma. The Street Profits have a ton of charisma. The people who don't, see, you've got a couple of problems here. Your women's division is suffering from a major lack of charisma. I think Nikki Cross has charisma. Whether she's in the superhero outfit or not, I think she's charismatic. I think Becky Lynch has that charisma, and I think Asuka does. And aside from that, that's about it. That's just about it. Now, Derek is saying Otis did and they killed it. You're absolutely correct. Why they did that to this moment, you can't give me a good answer to. Nobody can. Nobody can. The fans loved Otis. I remember a time when I was like, oh good, I'm going to tune into SmackDown tonight, and they're going to further this angle with him and Mandy Rose. And I used to love, I remember when Otis gave somebody a ham or what, as a present. I mean, this was the guy that you said, yeah, you got it, man. You got a really charismatic dude. You fired Tucker, and I said, okay, well, maybe it's for the best. I like Tucker. I think he's a good wrestler. I think he's a better wrestler than Otis. But he's not as charismatic. And I understood that if you're going to give Otis a big push as a solo guy, maybe Tucker's not the guy you want hanging around. So, okay. But then what'd you do with Otis? Absolutely nothing. You gave him the Money in the Bank, and he didn't even wasn't even able to keep it. And now you've got him turned heel for no reason. Because at the end of the day, even if he wakes up to Chad Gable and says, you've led me down the wrong path, and nobody likes me anymore, and I did this and that, and I'm going to, well, okay, you're eight times his size. You're eight times his size, so you're not exactly the underdog in this feud. So I don't like it. Otis should have just been Otis. Can you imagine all of the great things you could have wrote for Otis's old character when it involved going up against whatever person he was going up against? If Roman Reigns and the Usos had done something horrible to Otis, he would be the most hated guy in the world. And by the way, if you had a really good feud with him and Tucker, with Tucker being a heel, and Otis won, and Tucker goes to the other federation for a while, it would have been great if the Usos were double-teaming Otis to have Tucker come back and say, you know, we're like brothers. I can beat on him, but you're not beating on him. Things would have been different if you had just left it alone. You won't leave it alone. That's the problem. You're constantly fixing what isn't broken, and you're breaking what is perfectly working. I don't get it. There was no reason in the world to flip Otis. He was easily your most charismatic guy. He had that sort of childlike whatever that the fans were totally buying into. He was funny, but you knew if you got him pissed off, he could actually kick your ass. See, usually the funny guys aren't like that. Usually the funny guys are like, well, they'll try hard, but they're not going to kick anybody's ass. They're here for just comedy. Otis was the exact opposite. Otis was like, well, if you get him pissed off enough and he stops being funny like that, he'll put the hurting on you. No, wasn't good enough. Couldn't do it. And then you say you want guys with big personalities? That's what we want here in this federation. We want large guys with big personalities. Well, how about Otis? What'd you do with him? This is what I'm telling you. The WWE's in free fall. They don't know what they want. They don't get it. They want something different every day. When Shinsuke Nakamura had turned heel, he was doing pretty good. I thought he was doing pretty good as a heel, way better than as a face. Remember when he told people, sorry, don't speak English, was what he would keep saying when he didn't want to answer a tough question? He was showing I could be a really good heel, a really good heel. No, don't want that. You have an awful lot of great, talented people. See, this is what I'm saying. I'm not coming down on a single guy in the WWE. Not a single guy. Because I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, from the lowest guy on the totem pole to the highest, if you let him free and say, do what you can do, you'll be impressed. You'll be damn impressed. But they can only do what they're allowed to do. When you come to work one day and they say, yeah, you're having a match tonight with so-and-so and you're losing, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Am I not in line for a title shot? How am I losing to some mid-card guy? Well, you know, we're going to work that big storyline about that, yeah. And the big storyline goes nowhere. That's the problem. Mike, it's a good question. I mean, Otis was easily their one of their most charismatic guys, and they ruined him.
Right. And here's something else to think about. When Rusev and Lana first showed up, Lana did all the talking. She had the charisma, right? She had a lot of charisma.
you know, as being that Russian chick and all that stuff and this, that, and the other. What happened at the height of Rusev thing? Not only did we see his charisma as a face, his face charisma, but Rusev's face charisma was kind of transferring onto Lana, you know, and she was getting over.
Mike, when they first came in, I said, you have the ultimate story here, because Rusev was undefeated. He was beating people that was like, whoa, man, he was tapping out Mark Henry and shit and the Big Show. And all the while, Lana was being this mean bitch. She was just like, crush them, All-American suck, I'm a hard ass, I'm this, that, and the other thing. And I said, I know where this story's going. As a writer, I said, I know where this is going. And it's going to be that she says, I'm his manager, but she's in love with him. And he doesn't know it. And eventually we're going to see that weakness in Lana. We're going to see Lana say, everything I did for him because I'm in love with him. And having Rusev say, what are you talking about? Well, you're just my manager. And we're going to see this interesting story play out where Lana's going to realize maybe he isn't in love with me. And they're going to go in a different direction for a while, and then they're going to come back together. And he's going to admit he is, and they're going to be huge faces. And they're going to be huge couple. And they're going to run this thing like Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. And they are going to have gold, gold, gold. That's what I said. When they first came in and started this, I said, this is where this is heading. I already see the writing on the wall. Keeping her strong and bitchy until we see her soft side, that she's in love with him. Keeping him hard ass of, I only want to kill people and destroy people. I have no time for this. But really, he does have feelings for her. And eventually, it will come together. And when it does, you've got a big, huge thing. Well, they sort of did that. They sort of did that. And what ended up happening? Gigantic response from the crowd. Do you understand that the WWE was selling tens of thousands of calendars that had every day marked as Rusev Day? That was the only gimmick about the calendar. It had pictures of Rusev and Lana, but other than that, it was just every day was marked Rusev Day. That was the gimmick. You know how much it cost to print a calendar? Nothing. Next to nothing. You know how much they were charging? Like $20. That's not a sign that you're doing something right. Oh, no, we have to crush this. We have to destroy this because it's working too well. What the hell are you doing? See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You couldn't do a better job if you literally said, I'm hiring somebody to destroy this federation. Anybody that gets popular, get rid of them. Any angle that starts to work too well, get rid of them. Anybody who starts to get over with the fans, get rid of them. That's what you're doing. Do you honestly think, in your wildest imagination, that even fans who didn't like Bray Wyatt didn't want to at least see a conclusion to the Alexa Bliss thing? Could we not have had him come back at least and do that before you released him? Do you honestly think any fans wanted to see this Lana goes off with and cheats on Rusev with Bobby Lashley? And what did I tell you when they did that? You go back and listen to those shows. I told you they have jumped the shark. No one will ever feel the same way about Lana and Rusev again because she betrayed him. And she betrayed him not in a way of, well, I'm managing somebody else. She betrayed him in a personal, intimate way. So the love isn't there anymore. And I told you, it's over now. They did that on purpose, and they destroyed it. The one thing they had was the fans said, well, they really are in real life married, and there is a bond, and there is whatever, and you had to destroy even that. You had gold in the palm of your hand, and you threw it in the garbage can. I don't know why. I'm baffled. I don't know why. I don't know why you do what you do. I don't know why the WWE does anything that they do. It's almost like they have a writer in there that's just saying, how do I destroy anything that starts to work? And if you're too blind to see that that's what's happening, I don't know what to tell you. What would you do? If you had a wrestling federation, I'm asking every single person listening to this show, if you had a wrestling federation, one of your wrestlers all of a sudden the fans start flocking into the building and buying the merchandise that you're selling and holding up posters and chanting and everything, would you say, hey, let's run with this guy? You would say, well, how do I destroy this? How do I make them stop doing that? Give me the rationale for you saying, I don't want this to happen. There is no rationale other than I want to ruin my own federation. We go to the phones again. Caller, are you there? No. Sometimes people just call to listen. Todd, they ruined that for absolutely no reason.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the Rusev, the Lana, and the Bobby Lashley angle. You know, it's that love triangle angle with those three. You know, I didn't like that. They were jumping chapters week after week.
Because they ended it. They said, that's it. There's no way you can rehab Lana after doing that. No one's going to root for her anymore because it's just not going to happen. You could try. I could have tried to write him out of that mess. You know, I could have attempted to write him out of that mess, but I don't know how. Short of, it would almost have to turn Bobby Lashley face, because the only way you could have wrote him out of the mess is to say, we planned this because you were paying too much attention to whatever and not enough attention to me, or somebody lied and said you were cheating on me, or and I believed them. It would have been tough. You might have been able to write him out of it, but not well. It should have never been written to begin with. It should have been rejected the minute you seen it. Would you have liked that if they wrote a story where Miss Elizabeth had cheated on Randy Savage and was taunting him about it? No. That would have ruined Miss Elizabeth, right? Well, there you go. So they actively seek to do this. And we can talk about all the things they destroyed. Bray Wyatt, the whole audience was cheering. He's got the whole world in his hands. They were singing it. Destroyed. Elias. People were cheering like it was a soccer game. Walk with Elias. Oh, walk with Elias. Over and over again until he couldn't even speak. Ruined. Otis was the number one thing on the show. Ruined. Rusev and Lana, ruined. It's just time and time and time and time again. Till it gets to the point where you say, I don't even want to put my faith in any of these angles, Mike, because it's just going to end up disappointment.
Right, and think about this. I remember a time they go over to England with Bayley, and they had the, now, I guess the English guys do this all the time, too, but I guess they had the English guys saying, oh, baby, won't you be my girl? And that type of thing. And that was at the height of her popularity. She was still doing this thing. And remember, you were in an audience with somebody, and y'all were watching Bayley, and that guy wasn't a particular fan. And you told him the story before, and you asked him about Bayley, and she said, he said, oh, she's going to be big.
You know, the funny thing about that story is I didn't even ask. We were just watching, and he didn't know one wrestler from another. And as soon as she came out and the crowd response and the way she entered and everything, he said, oh, that girl's going to be big. You can tell. That girl's going to be big. Because he felt the charisma. He felt the energy. See, that's why I love watching wrestling with non-wrestling fans. Because the things that I observe them more than I observe the show. And I'll tell you why. Because when they sit up and say, what's that? What did that guy just say? Or who is that? It sparked their interest, and they're not even fans. It means they felt something. They felt some charisma. They felt some energy. They felt something. And that's better than watching it with a wrestling fan, because a wrestling fan already has a predetermined notion of who's going to win and who's going to lose and who's hot and who isn't hot and that kind of stuff. A non-wrestling fan who don't know any of these people, it's very interesting to see their reactions and say, oh, that guy's really good. I'll tell you another story about that. I went to an actual live event with a wrestling fan, with a non-wrestling fan. For the very first time he ever saw professional wrestling other than flipping through the channels, and he was there live. And at the end of the night, I said to him, and he didn't even remember some of the names. I said to him, who's the guys that most impressed you? And he said, well, the guy he picked number one was Shawn Michaels. He said, that guy was really good. I mean, he was like, he got the whole crowd into it, and he was real smooth, and he didn't seem, and he didn't know anything about wrestling. He just felt that whole charisma. You know what I mean? And this is why non-wrestling fans can be very valuable. Now you're going to run across some that just say everything's stupid, it all sucks. But if they're open-minded to it, and you watch it with some people and you tell them, look, I'm going to make you suffer through 2 hours of wrestling, but I'm doing this for a reason. I'll buy the pizza. Then watch their reaction. Couldn't be less interested in a certain match. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, who's that person? You got something. Even a non-fan is interested. Now, you could get that same reaction with somebody like Otis, or they'll say, that was funny. Oh, that guy's pretty funny. I like that guy. You know, you pick their brain. Those are the people whose brains you want to pick, because wrestling fans already have that predetermined whatever in their brain. CM Punk can do no wrong. It doesn't matter what he does. Or this guy can, Adam Cole can do no wrong. It doesn't matter. Okay, well, then it's predetermined. I don't need your opinion. I need the opinions of people who don't even know who the hell they're talking about, because then I know something's up. And that's what the guy said. He said, oh, that girl's going to be big. You can just tell. And she could have been. But you ruined her too, didn't you? You had to ruin her too. It wasn't enough to make her this all-American girl whose dream was to be a professional wrestler and basically be the female John Cena. No, not good enough. We have to tinker with it and ruin the shit. And I'm sorry to tell you that while Charlotte Flair has one of the best overall work ethics in the WWE, beyond a shadow of a doubt, her entire personality is, I'm a female Ric Flair. That's her entire personality. It might as well be Ric Flair in drag. It's the exact same thing. Minus the limousine, whatever deal, driving, jet flying thing, but basically that's her. She just does it with I'm the queen. She doesn't have a great personality. And any time she does that, you can tell it's fake. What got the best reaction at WrestleMania? Bianca Belair breaking character and forcing Sasha Banks to break character and acknowledge this is a moment. Fans went nuts. You need to allow the wrestlers to show a little bit more of their actual personalities if they're not good actors. Now, if they're good actors, that's fine. I'll take Scott Levy, for example. Scott Levy couldn't get arrested being himself. He's pretty much a funny dude and, you know, very lighthearted sort of guy and likes to crack jokes, and Raven was not that. But he was real good at that character. So that guy you can leave alone. But some of these people are better off when they show their real personalities. Look at Asuka. She came out and she was just like, nobody is ready for Asuka. It's like the Terminator. You know, I'm a female Japanese Terminator. And people were like, yeah, fuck her. Nobody was really that interested in her. When she started coming out and being this energetic, vivacious, happy-go-lucky girl that you see on her YouTube channel, people were like, I like her. Very likable. That's the difference, Mike. They have to spark something within a fan.
Right. Look at what they were doing with Big E before he joined the New Day.
Right.
You know, what was he? He was this big, strong-looking, tough guy, whatever. Basically a stone-faced bodyguard, right? And then they come up with the New Day. Now, they had to tweak it, right? They tweaked it some, but they said, just be yourself. They let them be themselves, but just turn it up to 11, right?
Yes.
And look what happened.
Exactly. Same with Steve Austin. They let him be himself. Look what happened. A certain amount of this falls on, a good amount of it falls on the writers. Again, it's one of those things where, does anybody really believe the Sami Zayn deal? Okay, it's mildly amusing, but it's ran its course. I'm making a documentary about how I'm being persecuted. It worked for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's just like, this is dumb. Why can't he just be a serious guy who wants to win the belt? I don't get it. He has a pretty good personality. Same way with Kevin Owens. You had to ruin Kevin Owens. you jumped the shark with Kevin Owens when you made him Shane McMahon's lackey, who said, well, I can't afford to be fired, so I'll do whatever you want to do as long as you don't fire me. I guess I'll be a referee and cheat. I guess I'll be your lackey, because then everyone said, well, okay, Kevin Owens got no balls. And I said at the time, you're jumping the shark with Kevin Owens because people are going to remember that, and they're never going to look at Kevin Owens the same way again. Well, you think you'd have done that with Steve Austin? Steve Austin would have said, I'll quit this federation, show up in the parking lot, and beat your ass every night. That's what he would have said. And fans would have said, you go. You can't kill what everyone loves about the wrestlers. And you did that with The Fiend. What everyone loved about The Fiend was you're not beating him. You're not beating him. It's a supernatural sort of – it ain't even supposed to be supernatural. But it's a metamorphosis of this man's inner rage and whatever, and it's just – it's too much. You're not beating him. And you use him sparingly, and you don't have him beat. Maybe once every a year he gets beat. No, he was beaten on a regular basis. He lost more than he won. So fans said, well, then that's the end of that, because it, what we liked about him was that he's this fierce, almost supernatural-type creature that people should be afraid of and not even want to wrestle. And certainly when he gets in there, he's just a violent maniac who nobody can overcome. No, everybody can beat him. Everybody can beat him. They showed you that the first major match he had when Seth Rollins beat him to the point where they had to stop a Hell in a Cell match because The Fiend couldn't take any more punishment. Wait a minute. I thought he was supposed to be like a Jason Voorhees. He just keep coming and coming and coming. How would you like if there was a Friday the 13th movie and in the first scene somebody beats Jason up so bad he just lays there in a puddle? You can't do it. It's like the WWE creates these things and says, how do we destroy them? And this is why I'm telling you the WWE's in a freefall. They have no business plan. They have no idea where they want to go for their future. They are caught in between, do we go to the more realistic-based wrestling without characters, without gimmicks, people with of normal size, and just go with the athleticism and say, that's all it's going to be, folks, is athleticism, athleticism, athleticism. Or do we try to revert back to more gimmicks, more storylines, or do we walk the line in between, or do they don't know. Pick one. Pick one. Even if I don't like the one you pick, at least I'll know where you're going. But nobody does now. They change it day by day. And now I think they're about to spoil NXT. Because everything that made NXT special to the NXT fans is going to be taken away now. And by that I mean, if they're saying we don't want any small guys in NXT, well, that's why you had the work rate so high. Because 265-pound guys ain't going 20 minutes at full speed. A lot of these guys could do that at 200 and 190 and 185. And that's what the NXT fans like. So you're pulling away everything that the NXT fans like about NXT, and you're not even doing it for a good reason, because I have no faith that it's going to help WWE. No faith whatsoever. Because if all you're after is big guys with charisma, well, you're ruining a half a dozen of them. You ruined Otis. He's a big guy with charisma. You fired Bray Wyatt. He's a big guy with charisma. Dominik Dijakovic was a big guy with some charisma. Keith Lee's a big guy with a lot of charisma. You're not using him. So what makes you think you're going to use anybody else? So it's almost like you're pissing in your own Kool-Aid. I just don't understand it. Wait, because NXT fans aren't going to be happy. Todd, that's my prediction. If they do this, NXT fans, you may see lower.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, like you said about with the NXT thing, and I remember back in the 90s and you had the Monday Night Wars, and WCW was suffering towards the end in ratings and everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mike, you can't everything that the NXT fans find special about NXT and then expect them to keep watching the show.
Right, and look, the downfall for the WWE has been a long, slow one. Think about it. And I think I can go back. I can pinpoint almost to the point where it's probably started. And where it probably started is at the point when they were originally doing the Authority, and the Authority wouldn't give up and all that stuff and wouldn't show ass and stuff like that. And then you had to go off and sign the Big Show to a contract and say in the contract that you can do anything to anybody at any time you want, and
right.
and not carry through in that contract when you could have used that guy as a potential face foil for the Authority, and him costing the Authority matches and ruining the Authority's plans and stuff like that. I mean, that's, I think, when the downfall, when they refused to use that particular.
That is one of the downfalls. You're right. And I'm going to tell you something, and I will go to my grave saying, the Authority needed to show a lot more ass, like Vince McMahon did. They needed to get their comeuppance a lot more often. And there was two people that could have done it that could have furthered their career a tremendous amount. One would have been Wade Barrett, who could have said this Bad News Brown gimmick is stupid and I'm not doing it, and resisted the Authority and been basically an English Stone Cold sort of a guy, or the Wyatt family. Because at that time, the Wyatt family was full up, and you would have said, well, these are people who are not going to listen to anybody else. They're going to listen to Bray Wyatt, and that's who they're going to listen to. And they don't give a fuck what Triple H has got to say or Stephanie McMahon. Not one fuck. And that you could have turned them huge faces and feuded them against the Shield, which is what everybody wanted to see. The Shield was the Authority's attack dogs, right? This is what I'm talking about. It's sad. It's very sad. The WWE does, but I'm telling you right now, I've never seen the WWE in more peril than I've seen them in right now. AEW right now should strike while the iron is hot, because they have the guy on the ropes. I never thought I'd say it, but they do. They have WWE on the ropes right now. We'll see where it goes. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.